plethora of increase in terms of spoofing related emails, and that is how these fraud, phishing, and whaling attempts are getting through. So I strongly recommend that you look into that and take action.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the internet. The show airs the first and third Saturdays of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com. This is WGTD-FM. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jess Sheeler, an outreach and career transition specialist at Job Corps, Steve Brown, assistant professor of education leadership at UW Oshkosh, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Manji. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. I'm Dwayne Olson, your host today for Education Matters on WGTD-HD, Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin, at 91.1 on your FM dial, and 101.7 in Elkhorn, and 103.3 in Lake Geneva. WGTD is a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio Network. Today we will be discussing the recent report of Wisconsin's Blue Ribbon Commission on School Funding, which was established by Representative Robin Voss, Speaker of the Assembly, and Senator Scott Fitzgerald, Majority Leader. The 16-member commission was charged with examining how tax dollars are distributed to Wisconsin schools and making recommendations to better meet the needs of students across the state. The commission held 8 public hearings to receive testimony from the public and held 2 information meetings in Madison to receive testimony and conduct commission member discussion. As a result, the Blue Ribbon Commission's report on school funding is a bipartisan product. Our guest today will summarize and discuss the recommendations of the commission. They are Mark Duff, Chief Financial Officer, Racine Unified, and Racine Unified School Board members, Dr. Mike Frontier and Jane Barbian. Welcome to all three of you, then, to Education Matters.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
It's good to have you here today. So before we get started, let's see. Mike needs, why don't you add a little background to this information that I provided on the Blue Ribbon Commission?
Thank you, Dwayne. I would point out that Jane and I had the opportunity at the state school board convention to hear the presenters, the chair of the committee, Luther Olson and Joel Kitchen, speak, and they made the point that all the 18 recommendations, which were quite innovative, were unanimously supported by this bipartisan commission. And I would also note that Luther Olson, who started out as a school board member in near Green Bay, pointed out that many of his comments were prefaced by the comment, in other countries. This is a heavily researched document that's based on successful practices really around the world. So it was very impressive. And in terms of the monies that these innovations will require, Senator Olson pointed out 2 very positive things, that the state of Wisconsin in November, the citizens voted for $2 billion worth of referenda, citing the need for more funding for schools, and secondly, that the Marquette poll, which came out the day before he spoke in Milwaukee, noted that citizens would rather spend more money on schools than have tax reductions. So he felt this set the stage for the recommendations you'll hear about now.
Okay. Anything else we want to add there? Otherwise, let me mention a couple things then in terms of information about Wisconsin school funding. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities in 2016 published a chart identifying 5 of the 6 states with deepest K-12 cuts also cut income taxes. And Wisconsin was 5th on that list with a cut of 12.7%. The percentage change in state general funding per student, inflation adjusted 2008 to 2016. Another point. Act 10 in 2011 provided additional funding for school districts as a result of requiring school district employees and most public employees to fund more of their health insurance and their retirement benefits. At this time, Racine Unified is facing a $10 million structural deficit for the next school year if there is no change in public school funding. So this is a really important issue as far as Racine Unified is concerned, and I'm sure many school districts. And finally, then, because of low state funding for special education, school districts take money from funds for regular students to pay those costs, thus depriving regular students of resources that they need for learning. So now to the report, then, and what are the major recommendations of this report? The first one, then, that we want to talk about is two-thirds of state funding of Wisconsin public schools. Mark, would you take over on that?
Yeah, and I've kind of categorized some of the Blue Ribbon Commission recommendations and into four areas. School finance, system reform is one of them, and that's where I put the two-thirds state funding of public schools. So, that's one of the things that is included in here. For a while, we had two-thirds funding of schools, school district costs. But another aspect of the two-thirds funding is that they're also trying to reform. There's different pots of money. The school finance system is very complicated. They have general aids to schools that reduce property taxes. They have special education aid, all these different things. But they have these things called the first dollar credit, and they have a school levy credit. And some of those affect property taxpayers in a different way. They want to reform that by combining it into one fund so that it's a more fair distribution and property tax burden across the state, depending on how affluent a school district is and how poor it is. So that they are recommending fixing that, which is progress, I think. It makes a more fair system of funding public schools.
Okay, then the next issue that we want to address is one of additional funding for, and the first issue is students in poverty. So who wants to talk about that?
Yeah, and that was that's my second category.
Good.
Of target. There are a number of initiatives that are provide greater financial support to our neediest students, and having more funding to public schools for students in poverty will provide significant more funding to school districts who are facing those challenges.
I think, Mark, you're right on. And I think one of the arguments that I hear from many people across our community is what additional funds are needed for low-income students. Why do they need additional funds? And this is something that I think we need to address here. Literacy readiness is huge. Vocabulary instruction. When children are facing low-income poverty issues, little access to health and nutritional care, mental health issues. This is ways that the school district has to come up with ways to help meet the needs of these kids and catch them up to where students who have more advantages are placed. That vocabulary and literacy readiness is huge. The health and mental health issues are huge. And the district is doing a wonderful job now of trying to come up with resources to meet the needs of these students with the mental health clinics we've put in some of our schools already. And but, you know, it all costs money, and it all is an expensive piece. Maybe, Mark, you can talk about what mental health clinics we have in place right now.
So yeah, those are some of the recommendations that we would provide additional aid to support mental health services at our schools. So I think the Blue Ribbon Commission had it would be up to $42 million statewide to provide mental health services at our schools. And Racine Unified has mental health clinics at some of our neediest schools. We have a community school called Knapp Elementary. We worked with the United Way, and this mental health clinic is doing great services, and we have that at other schools as well, and having more mental health clinics would be extremely helpful.
Mike?
And the recommendations from the Blue Ribbon Committee call for $1.2 for our students in poverty. This would, about 60% of the students in Racine Unified of our 20,000 students live in poverty. This would be a significant help to us to providing smaller classrooms or just more flexibility in meeting their needs. I just heard on the radio today, poverty, children in poverty cost America $1 trillion in terms of crime and lost potential. Let's address this. I think what the committee is saying, let's address this, solve these problems, give these kids a great education. So this recommendation, by the way, has been in previous recommendations from study groups, task forces, and it's time for this to get real traction.
Okay, that's great. So let's move on then to additional funding for English language learners.
So that's another one where the Blue Ribbon Commission will provide, like what they're doing is school districts get funding authorization, like a funding per student. And what they're saying is English language learners would get 20% more funding per student. This would provide a significant amount of additional resources. School district provides a number of bilingual education programs and English language learner programs, and this would provide the resources to be able to do that. I don't know if Mike or Jane want to add to that. But
I'd like to add on, because this is another one I hear. Well, why do they need additional resources? Why is their education more expensive, and should we be doing that? I think if you were my background is a reading specialist. I have worked with many students, bilingual and non-bilingual students, and when you see a child learning in Spanish to read and then transition into the English reading, it's a magical thing. It really is. I remember one little third grader looking up at the board, a bilingual student, and she started reading, and she goes, "Hey, when did I learn to read in English?" It's just a wonderful thing. But those bilingual resources, the Spanish resources, keeping them true to their own native language and then making them help them transition to the English, it takes additional resources that we want to provide for our students.
And the Unified District just put out its annual report, and if I recall correctly, it seems to me that it said there were 47 different languages in Racine Unified this past school year, and so that says something about it. And I have a daughter who's in the St. Paul Public School District, and she said they have over 100 languages in the St. Paul Public School District. So this is an issue that faces public schools across the country.
It is. Yeah, right. Last I heard there was many Middle Eastern European bilingual students coming into the district.
And that's a good point. Public schools are required. We have an open door to all students, and we're obligated to educate any student. So if a child comes in and speaks zero English, we have a number of those that come in, we're obligated to take that child in and get them up to speed and educate them. And our school district our performance is rated as to how well we do that. But it does cost additional resources to get those students up to speed. We're glad to do that and excited. We have success in it. But this will provide us an additional boost to be able to serve those students even better.
Okay, let's move on to special education students. Additional funding then for special education.
So this is a long time ago. The state funded a significant, I don't know if it was all the way up to 75% funding. And
66,
then it was 66. So the state used to provide a significant amount of funding for special education funding. The service needs for special education students can be quite significant. Racine Unified spends over $50 million to support special education students in our district, and the state aids that at about 20. It's all the way down to 24%. So whatever costs we don't receive in aid or federal aid, the general fund has to pay for it. So by getting more special education aid, which is targeted services for special needs students, the better it will be for all students.
And it's mandated services, too, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Right, required by law. Mm-hmm.
You can't avoid it.
Right. And there are some students that cost well over $100,000 just for one student. Others, you know, we're providing language, meeting language needs, other special medical needs. These are very expensive services that we are very good at providing,
right.
But it's very expensive.
Speech and language, physical therapy. When we belong to a couple of, the Racine School Board belongs to a couple of school board organizations across the state. There's one that we belong to that's just the southeastern Wisconsin districts, 33 districts. This was their number one priority. They must have additional funding for special education students. Whether it was the Whitefish Bays or the Racine Unifieds, right. Kenoshas, everybody is saying we must have additional funding for special education because it is just getting so extremely costly.
And Mike, did you want to add it?
Well, I grew up in Chicago in Catholic schools, and I never was I never experienced the trauma of seeing some of these students with enormous physical needs. Having been principal at Wadowitz, it was very enlightening, and there's tremendous care provided to these kids. This is the mark of a civilization, how well we take care of our neediest folks. And the state of Wisconsin has not provided any increase in special ed funding since the 2008 school year. This is critical. We're at 24%, and these recommendations by this bipartisan committee recommend we move to 60%, which was a state commitment many years ago.
And interestingly, these recommendations from the bipartisan commission, they're from across the state. So this is an issue that faces all school districts probably across the state of Wisconsin.
This is so critical. I should point out almost one-sixth of our budget is spent on special ed. And when we exceed that budget, we have to take money from regular education. And when you think about it, $10,000 a student, one-sixth is going into special ed. That's $8,400 that's
yes.
left for the regular education. So this is a critical issue.
They said many districts pay up to 10% of their resources covering special education because of the state-imposed pupil revenue limits. And they said it's especially prevalent in school districts serving high-poverty, high-minority schools, which many of our schools are. This is a huge issue and one that I hope that we can see that we need to invest more resources. That it provides then for all of our students, not just special education.
And I think you were talking about how it's important across the state. You know, we're a large school district. We have 18,000 students. Kenosha has a lot of students. So there's a little bit of a efficiency with how we can provide comprehensive service needs, meet the needs of special needs students. But a rural school district struggles even more. You
yeah.
have a high-cost student come into a district that their whole budget is $4 million. Ours is $300 million. It's a huge hit. Very significant importance to rural small school districts to have greater support for supporting these needy students.
Okay, then let's move on then to the next issue then, additional funding for all-day 4K kindergarten.
So one of the things that Racine Unified started, I don't know if it's 2 years ago, but we had a major initiative in the early childhood area, and we wanted to start having full day 4K. It's with four-year-old kindergarten with wraparound care. And I don't know, Jane and Mike can talk about some of the research, but it does show that having a kid prepared, coming to school, ready to learn, it will serve them into the future. So we've provided full day 4-year-old kindergarten, but the state only lets us, gives us the funding authority for 60% of the cost of it. So this would give us the ability to have the spending authority and the funding to pay for a full-day 4K program.
Jane, do you want to come in?
Yeah, I started my career teaching in early childhood. Everybody understands the importance of early childhood education, a four-year-old program. Everyone loves everything it does. It increases vocabulary. It sets those pre-readiness skills. Everyone knows that. However, as I was talking to my daughter-in-law yesterday, going to school to pick up the child at a half-day program, it's tough. And if you're a working parent, especially a low-income parent, who your boss is not going to let you leave your job to go and pick up that child at a half-day. The group of school board organization that we belong to, this was also a high priority. They wanted to add four-year-old kindergarten for all day. Parents are asking for it. They said it's just too hard to pick up those kids half day. And this would be a huge bonus for us that we could add additional 4K programs, all day 4K programs, to help out our families and help us get to these kids as early as possible to get those literacy skills going.
Okay, Mike, do you want to add to this?
Well, the return on investment here is amazing. Utah went to all day 4 kindergarten. And they identified special needs earlier and actually saving money because it's reduced their special ed cost in later years. Finally, all the research tells us that our poorest kids very often are behind in language development. Think about this. The ultimate technology is language.
Yes.
And computers, and, you know, these are all fine, but if our kids can't master language, when a teacher says draw a horizontal line and they don't understand that, they're behind. So the more we can develop these language skills in our four-year-olds, the stronger we'll be as a district and a community.
Yeah, and as someone who taught four-year-old kindergarten, I want to reassure the families out there that are saying, oh, no, four-year-olds in all-day school, please keep in mind this is very play-oriented. It's very geared to their readiness level. It's very geared to their age group. They make it a very fun learning experience, but they surround the kids in instructional or pre-literacy type games and activities. So the kids are playing and having fun, but they're also learning and getting exposed to great vocabulary at the same time.
Exactly. And learning to work with other children, too. And
exactly.
So social skills are very much a part of
very
it as
well. Very nice.
I observed Head Start last week, and my background's in early childhood, my master's degree, and they are measuring the amount of words that the teacher interacts with the student with. So we're being very intentional with these dollars. While there's a play environment, as Jane said, we're really focusing as a instructional effort on language development. Very critical.
And if I could just add a couple points on the Blue Ribbon Commission recommendation, is they also did, Mike, you did mention Head Start. It would provide additional funding, more state support for Head Start initiatives as well. So that's another thing. Right. And in addition to the 4K programs, there are also efforts to start helping students at three-year-old levels. So the focus is recognizing, we are recognizing we need early learning to get kids the head start for learning.
And I would say one last thing. Luther Olson, when presenting these recommendations, talked about advocacy. If you feel strongly about these, we need to be speaking to our legislators and become versed in these recommendations. And if you want to see what these are, you may go to Senator Wirch's website, and there's a link to these Blue Ribbon recommendations and the research that supports them.
Okay, good. That's a resource then that our listeners then can turn to get additional information on these recommendations. Excellent. Okay, we've talked about mental health issues already. Do we need to add anything more to that?
I don't think so. There are different funding recommendations, but I think these are school-based mental health clinics. You know, for your listeners to understand, it's providing specialized support, and we've seen significant progress at the schools where we have these school-based clinics, and helping these children. And this is one of the things we want to do. This is one of those cost-effectiveness type things. If you can address a child's needs early, you can avoid have them become a special needs student later. So we want to be and have the cost down the road. Some of this is prevention efforts. If we have a good education, a good base, the kids starting out, it helps us in the long run for society and our culture.
Jane?
Yeah, and Mark, if you could address a little bit, right now, many of our mental health things that we've initiated over the last couple of years have been through grants, but those grants, of course, are going away.
Yes.
So to keep it sustained, to keep it going, we have to start pulling from Fund 10, which is under revenue caps. And I don't want to go into too much detail on revenue caps, Mark, but the Blue Ribbon Commission is suggesting we take this out of the revenue cap so that we wouldn't have to pull from other resources we need for instruction. We could address mental health issues without the worry of the revenue caps, if you could just address that quickly.
Yeah, exactly. Is the way the state has like a cap on a school district spending, so we're always have to weigh our priorities of funding. So we were able to get these school-based mental health clinics up and running, but the grant funds went away. So now we have to figure out a way to fund them. But if we had a certainty that we could fund these without worrying about this specialized cap, we could have more clinics. We could have some of them in our middle schools, our high schools, and serving more students because we know they work. And we would have a funding source to be able to make these things happen. So so this would be something that it would be outside this cap so that we could have the funding source needed for it.
Excellent. Mike?
I would just comment major researchers 10 years ago, the principals were asked what the biggest issue in America was for schools. It was achievement-oriented. 10 years later, 2018, they found that it's all socio-emotional issues, more of the heart issues. And the mental health clinics certainly support that effort to make our kids more collaborative and interactively successful.
And mental health has just become a very important issue, so and social health, too, and that sort of thing. And so it's something, I guess, schools, public schools, get to respond to because they're the agency of society that deals with that. Jane?
I think it's been quite a conversation in the schools with the teachers that I've known for quite a while, and it's really nice to see it getting more recognition, the importance of it, and how this can directly impact how school students are able to learn and be successful in the classroom setting. The mental health piece, I think, is one of the best things that the Blue Ribbon Commission has come up with here.
Okay, so let's move on then to the next issue then. Additional funds for summer programs to address the issue of learning loss during the summer months. That's kind of an interesting one.
So, yeah, there is a recognition that students lose some of their, there's the learning loss over the summer. So there have been a number of initiatives both at the DPI and the Blue Ribbon Commission to give additional support to have better summer, not better, but support summer learning programs. So this would be another help to the district to have I think there's recognizing that more of a year-round type of programming. I don't know if you want to add to that.
Yeah, it's called the Summer Slide, Mark.
Yes.
Every teacher can tell you about it, and it's an unfortunate thing. But, you know, when my kids were in school, when they were home for the summer, they had tons of books that they were able to read. I took them to the library. I took them to other types of activities. But, you know, not all families in our community are able to do that. They don't have access to books. They don't have access to additional learning experiences. During the summer, they're with daycare or relatives who are helping to care for them, and not all kids have access to that. The summer school programs provide wonderful opportunities from reading and math instruction to musical theater to all types of activities for the kids to keep their learning going, to keep their social skills going, and it's a wonderful opportunity, and I'm glad to see that the Blue Ribbon Commission is supporting that.
Sounds like enrichment to me, too, you know, and not only
right.
Basic learning, but enrichment learning as well.
Exactly.
Okay, let's move on then to additional funds to restructure school finance system to protect districts facing declining enrollment.
So this is something that's affecting Racine Unified, and that's part of the reason why we have a $10 million structural deficit is that as we've been seeing a decline in our enrollment, we always have to work to plan to get smaller and more efficient. So they are recognizing the burden that's affecting districts all over the state, both in rural Wisconsin and in urban areas like Racine Unified. So this would provide us with that protection to be able to have a longer time to plan for the impact. Because our whole finance system for supporting schools is based on how many students you have. And as you lose students, the state system requires us to cut. So this gives us more of a time to be able to meet that requirement. So, we have to cut $4 million because we lost 400 students. So it's always that chronic, like, oh, we have to cut again, here we go again. And so this would provide a little more of a cushion and time to address that.
Okay, Jane?
And, yeah, this affects not just Racine Unified. This affects many districts across the state. Many are dealing with declining enrollment. I think I heard that there was maybe two or one in the Milwaukee suburb area that didn't have declining enrollment. Everybody else is facing
really?
That, even private and parochial. They're all dealing with declining enrollment. I'm sorry, there's just fewer kids now than there were 10 years ago. So it's just a fact of life. We have to deal with declining enrollment as the population shifts.
And certainly northern Wisconsin is dealing with this.
They're dealing with it as well.
No wonder this would come up then in these recommendations.
Well, in fact, there's only two states in the country where population's growing, Utah and North Dakota. And out of the 2009 depression, there's just simply, as Jane said, fewer kids being born in America.
And the base things, you know, like the building, that has to be paid for. It has to be heated and cooled no matter the number of students in it, et cetera, et cetera. So there are costs that are just simply
fixed.
You have to take care of.
Yeah, and I'd like Mark, if he has a minute, just to point out what Unified has already been doing to accommodate declining enrollment. I think we closed two schools.
Well, we close two elementary schools and a middle school and a charter school. So, and that's not easy. It's a shock to the neighborhoods and the system, and it's difficult for parents, difficult for staff. We have to change the environment, but that's what we've been facing. Now it's even harder for a school district that has one elementary school and one middle school and one high school. You can't close the building, but you may have declining enrollment. How do you address that? So if we have enough time, we can plan for it. I mean, as far as a district, we can meet those challenges. But there are challenges all over the state, and that's the Blue Ribbon Commission is saying that this is an issue that they need to provide school districts with some help.
Okay, at this point, I want to remind our listeners that this is your host, Dwayne Olson, and you're listening to Education Matters on WGTD HD. At 91.1 on your radio dial from Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Today I am visiting with Mark Duff, Chief Financial Officer, Racine Unified, and Unified School Board members Dr. Mike Frontier and Jane Barbian. We have been discussing the recent report of the Wisconsin's Blue Ribbon Commission on school funding. Now back to our program. Mike, you had something?
Well, I just want to point out that Our state has a history of underfunding schools from the state level. We've overburdened local taxes, and it's really powerful to see these recommendations because the state is stepping up to its responsibility. One of its clear responsibilities is to educate the youth of our state. So I was so impressed with the leadership, and we have to give credit to Senator
Senator Olson
and Kitchens for their excellent report, but also for Robin Voss and Mr. Fitzgerald, Senator Fitzgerald, for initiating the study.
Excellent.
And I believe many of the governor's recommendations align themselves with these recommendations. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what's exciting is that I haven't seen this before in a long time, is that we have both parties, both the legislature and the governor, coming out with very similar recommendations. So it's exciting that we see a mutual interest on all in public education on how to address the needs of our students.
Excellent. Okay, so let's move on then to the next issue then, index revenue limit adjustment to CPI.
Yeah, that's one of those technical terms that I do in my job as the chief financial officer, but I mentioned earlier that the state controls our spending with a cap of, it's called the revenue limit. They control our spending by controlling our revenue. So the cap is called the revenue limit. It's an amount per student. So the way they usually allow us to increase it by like a inflation rate, because we have to pay our staff and our teachers. We have to pay for utilities and buses. So this will index it by our per pupil spending will be allowed to increase with inflation. So that'll give us some certainty as I budget as to what our revenues will be to support our school district.
Excellent. Okay, let's move on.
I like the
Jane.
Example I heard Mark use. For example, if Dr. Frontier, you know, God forbid, passed away, left the district $10 million, it doesn't mean that we can spend more per pupil because of that revenue cap.
Right.
We have to.
Is that right?
Well, that's one of the things that two-thirds funding is. Sometimes the state will say record money funding schools. Well, that's a lot of that money that they're talking about is going for property tax relief. This is what is the amount that we can spend on students. And for several years, we were getting an adjustment that is less than the rate of inflation. So we were all, that's kind of what this structural deficit term is. So this will align it with the consumer price index and give us the ability to meet increasing costs.
Okay, Jane?
When I go out in the community and I speak to people, I like to point out, I'm a homeowner, many people are. I know that if I need to get my stove fixed, it's going to cost more than it would have cost 5-6 years ago.
Right.
Even if it's the same problem. And I don't think people realize that the district, the school district, is in that same boat. We have all of our revenue caps. We have everything the state says that this is as much as we can spend. But keeping our buildings maintained, addressing the mental health needs of our students, addressing early childhood education, there's nothing else we can do because of those imposed revenue caps that are on us. And I'm so thankful to the Blue Ribbon Commission and the bipartisan support that we can see how, and I'm optimistic that we could perhaps see some nonpartisan public support towards improving our schools and improving the options we have of educating the students and their needs.
Well said.
Okay, let's then move on to the next issue. Revenue limit exception for lead contamination, energy efficiency, mental health services, school resource officers, school safety expenditures, school nursing costs, and high transportation costs.
So the remember what I said, the revenue limit is that cap that the state
yes.
puts on our spending. But so, but some districts will be facing just these expensive issues. One of them is, like, I know Milwaukee had this, but some have lead in their old building pipes, and they have to replace it. It's very expensive. So this would allow the schools to be able to adjust that without taking it out of the funding that is supposed to support students. This will also allow us to do energy efficiency, to be a more efficient district, to have police officer, resource officers in our schools. Those are a great benefit. Safety initiatives, that's a big issue. And then our nursing, also, they provide excellent services. So there are a number of things that this would do to say that you can make sure that you can get this done, and these are important services.
Okay. Any additional thoughts on that? That would be very important. And then that would provide additional resources for kids learning in the regular classrooms. Okay.
Exactly.
Restructure school finance system to protect districts facing declining enrollment.
Yeah, and I think we talked about
yes.
that. And, you know, so that's one where many districts are facing this, and this will help have the finances available. But there
excellent.
Are some other initiatives I thought I'd mention that they also have teacher loan forgiveness programs and different types of things to help us get teachers into the workforce. We really need more people to pursue education as a career. We need people to do this. They have recognized this, and they put a loan forgiveness program in their initiative as well. So that's another recognition that is in the Blue Ribbon Commission.
That's one dear to my heart, because we do need to attract the best qualified and sustain this teacher education. And unfortunately, there are not as many people going into education as there used to be, and that's a shame.
Okay, yes, and that's addresses a very issue that I'm concerned about, too, is being able to attract high-quality teachers. So how can our listeners then gain more information on these topics? Go ahead, Mike.
Well, because of the critical nature of these, there will be the NAACP is having a meeting on Saturday, March 9th at 10 o'clock at Zoe Ministry. That's Pastor Hargrove's church on Racine Street. And there'll be a similar presentation, and I think our superintendent will be there. People have questions, and there'll be information on more detailed information available on how they can become advocates for these changes.
Okay, and people need to be just looking out to see information sources and so forth there. I'm sure that there'll be more coming on.
I think Rick has had a presentation, and they may be coordinating information sessions within our community for the broader public to become informed.
Okay, Jane?
I think definitely contacting legislators is important. The board, the school board at our last meeting last month, voted to form a legislative committee who is going to pursue looking at inviting the legislators at Impact Racine Unified to our area so that we can talk to them and share with them how these Blue Ribbon Commission recommendations impact Racine and how it could benefit our community, benefit our students. So we will certainly get out more information for that as that the logistics of that meeting come get finalized. So please watch for that.
And I also thought I'd mention that your legislators, who are your senator and representatives, they hold listening sessions. They're in your neighborhoods. You know, they represent your area. The state will be holding public hearings. Just communicate with your elected officials to let them know what's important to you, because that so that they can understand how important this is to our schools and our students.
Okay, and people can talk to the to you people as school board members.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then they also can talk to the school people too about what they see as their needs and
exactly.
So forth.
If there's any community group out there that would like any of us to come and speak with them, we'd be happy to do so. Just let us know. We've been going around, like Mike said, Racine Interfaith Coalition. We're going to be speaking with NAACP. I went to AAUW, the University Women's Group, and spoke with them as well. Any other community groups out there want more information on this, please let us know. We'll be happy to help.
Excellent. Okay, so let's see, where are we in terms of our issues then? There's some additional funding for teacher loan forgiveness, and that really is something that is of concern to me, because I think so many young people are coming out of college and university with debt, and to attract them into teaching and to pay off their debt is I would think, probably pretty difficult. Jane?
Right. As we all know, you know, college is expensive. And if we want to attract really high-quality teachers to address the many, you know, needs that we have in this district, we have to look at helping them out in some way. If I can also point out the Blue Ribbon Commission, we haven't talked about that, but gifted, talented education was also mentioned under the Blue Ribbon Commission. And the district is really doing a phenomenal job trying to include as much gifted, talented support as we can. We have a lot of gifted, talented kids in our community and in our schools, and the Blue Ribbon Commission is talking about additional funding resources for that, which would help out Racine having to come up with that funds ourselves.
Mike, do you have anything else to want to add here? We're getting close to the end.
Well, I would say, the last thing I would say, these recommendations are critical to our communities and our children's future. I ask the listeners to reflect on the importance of them and advocate for them. As was noted previously, there's ways to do that. Wisconsin can no longer undervalue its youth. And I think we can say historically, at the state level, we have underfunded education. And this report is a cutting-edge report that needs to be enforced. These kids that we're serving are our future workers, our future parents, and our taxpayers, and are key to making our communities vibrant places to live in.
Okay, and any closing thoughts, Mark?
Well, I think I'm so excited about how we have both Republicans, Democrats, the Assembly leaders, Senate leaders, and the governor all advocating very similar initiatives to support public education. This is an exciting time, and we need to support this effort to get the job done, to get these initiatives passed.
And certainly we understand that going forward in this society of ours, you're not going anywhere without an education, and certainly you need that basic education so you can move on. Jane?
I think people forget we provide the future employees of our businesses and manufacturing structure here in our community. And as we're hoping to attract these to the Racine area, a high-quality performing school district really helps set the tone and sets the needs of the future employees of our businesses, you know, 10, 15 years from now.
And that attracts people to or keeps people away from a community.
Exactly.
And so then it's an important resource then for any community. Okay, to our radio audience, we say thank you for being with us today as I visited with Mark Duff, Chief Financial Officer, Racine Unified, and Racine Unified School Board members Mike Frontier and Jane Barbian about the recent report of Wisconsin's Blue Ribbon Commission on School Funding. Thanks to all three of you for this most informative program. We wish you well in informing our communities about this most important aspect of providing Wisconsin schools the resources they need to educate their students. Finally, Tune in next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. for another edition of Education Matters. This is your host, Dwayne Olson, thanking you for being with us today.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, if you're interested in making a positive difference in a child's life, local mentoring programs are in need of volunteers. There are a wide variety of opportunities available. Visit uwp.edu/mentorkr.